Let's move on. Verse 12. Oops, let's start in 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The Lord chooses some people to go into a life of serving him full-time in Christian service. He will choose who he wants to choose. And I was talking to a young person just this week, and this is what I said. It's the truth. I said, if God has called you, you won't be able to get away from it. Good luck running. You won't be successful. Most people I know, when they were called into the ministry, were not expecting to be called into the ministry. And, you know, it takes a while to get your brain around it, to know whether or not you really have been called and where you fit in. But he calls people into ministry, and there's a purpose for it. They are called to equip other people for Christian service. That's their job. So what's the pastor's job? A pastor's job is to equip people for Christian service. Now, sometimes people get the misunderstanding that the people that do Christian service are the pastors, and the people in the church are the people that receive the Christian service. You are like people at a restaurant. And I'm like the cook and the server. I cook the meal, and I present it to you. And you look at it and go, eh. That's not the way it is. My job is to help you cook the meal and serve it to the world. My job is to try to help you so that you can be better Christians, so that your neighbors, the people that you work with, your unsaved family members, so that you're equipped to serve them in Jesus' name. That's how it's supposed to be. I mean, Pastor Scott, I mean, he's an ordained elder like I am. I mean, that's his job. His job isn't to just have a couple of ways of serving the church. His job is to equip people for works of service. That's what a pastor's job is. Now, verse 13, the rest of the message is going to be looking at just the next couple verses because they're very, very packed. Verse 13 says, until we reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and to become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. All right, this is a sentence that is difficult to translate into English, and so you kind of do the best of it. So I'm going to take it, and I'm going to share it with you, I think, in a way that it will make it sense. Here's my translation. You ready? Verse 13. So that we as a church should become a full-grown man or a full-grown woman. Now, when you're a kid, your body is changing, your mind's changing, and your parents are guiding you. So you learn how to eat right, and you learn about values and interacting with other people and how to work and stuff like that. And the goal is your parents are helping you so that you'll grow up to become an independent, got it together, adult person. That's how it is. And then the parents just kind of take their hands off, and you just take your first, you know, you're doing life on your own. And if your parents have done a good job, then, you know, you're prepared for life. And the whole idea is a church needs to be moving in the direction of, as a church, becoming like a full-grown adult person. In unity, in knowledge of the things of God, in stature. That's the plan. That's what God wants for us. God does not want us as a church forever staying like a child that wasn't raised properly. Unfortunately, we get to see some of those sometimes. You know what I mean? People that make it into adulthood, and a kid who's never done any work his entire life, and now he becomes, steps into a young adulthood, and he has no idea about how to get a job or how to keep a job, doesn't know how to handle his money, you know, gets paid something and he immediately goes out and blows it all, you know, gets his paycheck and immediately says, hey, let's go out to eat. Now his money's all gone. He doesn't have money to put gas in his car. Do you know, when I first got here and the town was smaller, one thing that we pastors in town had to deal with this, there were people that used to come to Walt Disney World and spend all their money and not have money to get home. So my first few years here, we would have people show up at the church and they literally didn't even have money to put gas in their car because they spent every cent at Walt Disney World. And everything inside me is like, what? So I'm supposed to take my wallet out. And you want me to take my money, my personal money, and buy gas for you to get home because you ate popcorn and you ate hamburgers and you did all the fun stuff. Are you kidding me? And I had to find a pastoral way of saying, are you kidding me? I can't even remember what I did. It probably wasn't the right thing. But, what? Are you kidding me? All right, so back to... Now, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a kid that wasn't properly raised. They hit young adulthood, and they have never done any work ever. They don't know how to wash a dish. They don't know how to vacuum a floor. They don't know how to make their bed. They don't know how to show up on time. They don't know how to be respectful and say yes, sir, and no, sir. You know what I mean? God doesn't want churches to be like that. A church that nobody's doing anything. There is no unity in the Spirit. Everybody's sitting around expecting somebody to serve them. That's not how it's supposed to be. God wants a church to grow and become like a mature, together adult. This week, I was praying, and the Lord brought a memory to my mind that's a beautiful, beautiful memory. When I was 10 years old, the church that we were going to this Church of God church that had gone through so many splits. And my parents were like, we feel like we need to have our children in something more stable. So we had visited churches, and we happened upon the Church of the Nazarene in our area. And I can still remember going there for the first time. I remember we parked, and it seemed like the parking lot had a lot of people in it, and we got to the door, and there was men at the door. They're shaking your hand, getting to know, you know, talking to you, and it seemed like everybody was super tall. And back then, you didn't just walk into church. You stood at the door with an usher, and an usher would walk you in and sit you at a seat. And you did not arrive right before church started. You would arrive like 20 minutes early so that you could get a seat. And still, if you arrived 20 minutes early, you might not even really get a seat. You might have to stand out in the entranceway. And you'd be sitting there for 15 minutes at least before the service would even start. And they would have, you know, music playing. And one thing I remember about that church, everybody would sing. I mean, they would sing some hymns and this, that, and the other. And then the pastor played the piano. He'd come up and he'd say, you know, he'd talk a little bit. And then we'd all kind of sing a chorus together. And it's like everybody in the room sang, and they really sang out. And I remember looking around, I'm like, this is so cool. And then sometimes they'd get singing, and somebody would stand up in the church and share a testimony of what God was doing in their life. And they'd sit down, and then someone else would share a testimony, and they'd sit down. And then they'd sing some more songs. And it would seem like everybody in the room felt like they never wanted the service to end. They just wanted to go on and on and on. And I remember as a kid, everybody. And for me, I mean, as a boy, I was watching the men in the church. And I saw the big, strong men. And when it came to God, their hearts were humbled. And those men were singing to the Lord. And I saw a lot of the men that had their eyes closed. And they were singing, but they'd have their hand up. And I'm like, these guys are serious about it. It's okay. As a young boy, you felt like, it's okay to be serious about the things of God. Because those men were serious about the things of God. It's sort of like the men doing it kind of gave me permission to do it too. The men were leading the way. So us boys said, we're going to follow that way too because the men are doing that. And when I think back in those days and how those people treated each other and how they honored God and the love that was among them, it was in those days around those people that my calling to the ministry began. Because I was around the real deal. I was around love. God came first. And now, as a church, I think we need to be thinking about, are we maturing and becoming like a together adult? As a church? Are we a mature entity so that there's true unity amongst us? Knowledge and stature? Verse 15. Well, no. Let's look at verse 14. And then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves. And remember, keep in mind, I told you this at the beginning, and this is a key to really understanding the scripture. He's not talking to people individually. Like, don't look at verse 14 and think that it's specifically talking to individuals who don't want to grow up and mature in their faith. He's talking to that church. He says, we don't want to no longer be like infants, tossed here and there by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Oh, by the way, did you guys catch the news last night? You know how you get these things in the mail that they say that they're a prince from Nigeria supposedly is a Christian, and he wants to give away his money, and if you'll just give him your bank account, he's going to put, you know, $30 million in your account, and you get to keep. They arrested a guy who's been a big part of it. It's a 67-year-old guy who lives like in Indianapolis. The article is like, he really wasn't a prince. He's just a scam artist. But so many people said, oh, well, if he wants to mail me the money, I'll give him my bank account information. All right, so that's neither here nor there. But it talks about the scheming of people. And, you know, there are people that come up with the craziest ideas. And as a church, we need to develop maturity so that as a church, we're not blown here and there by craziness, so that we have stability, because we are people of prayer and we are people of wisdom and we are people who talk to each other and listen to one another and deliberate wisely. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, when I talked about growing up to become like a full-grown man or full-grown woman, when we think about our local congregation, we need to think of ourselves like a body of which Christ is the head. And we are all part of that body. But He's not just the head. He is the beginning of the church, and He is the source of the church's life. He's where life comes from. And He has fit us together, putting the parts where they belong. And you know, I want to tell you, if you're here, God's put you here, and you may go, well, shoot, I don't know where I belong. Don't look at me. Look to the Lord. A good question is, Lord, where do I belong? And He'll show you. You have a part. You have a role. You have some job. There's something about you that is unique, that contributes to the body. And always remember, too, the pastor is not the head of the body. Christ is the head of the body. The pastor has a role in the body, but Christ is the head of the body. He puts the parts together where they belong. And let's see, this verse 16 again. The whole body, joined and held together. Joined and held together. If you translate that Greek term, the literal translation is the assisting bond. The assisting bond. So He is the glue that holds us together. And that glue is love that is from Him. And that glue that holds us together is almost like food that feeds us. And that glue that holds us together is like a map that guides us. You know, the words of the old hymn, blessed be the ties that bind us together in Christian love. You know, it's that assisting bond. And I know I'm not doing that great of a job of defining it, because it's a difficult thing to define. But our bond together in Christian love is something that makes us feel better about life. That bond is something that helps us encourage one another. That bond is something that makes us feel strong in our faith. The assisting bond. And God works through all the parts and causes the body to grow and to mature. So how do we grow and mature? We grow and mature through the parts. Let me tell you how this works. How do we grow? We grow because through the parts. We grow through, Jeff is going to reach out to somebody. Dan is going to communicate with somebody, or he's going to do something that's going to be encouraging to someone else, and they're going to respond. Deb is going to send an encouraging note to somebody. It's going to be something that means a lot to someone. You know, we grow through the things the parts do. And we also mature through the parts. Comes a time we're trying to figure something out as a church. We're talking through an issue. Maybe you're sitting down at a table having lunch together, and all of a sudden, somebody's been thinking about something and praying about it, and they say, you know, I've been thinking, and I think this is something that the Lord has shared with me. And they share a bit of wisdom. And all of a sudden, everybody at the table just kind of nods and thinks about it. And then they talk to others about that idea that was shared with them. And it's like it works through the body. And it's like, yeah. So we grow through the parts. We mature through the parts. And let me just kind of leave you with this thought. We are a body. We are an entity. And Christ is the head. All of us have responsibility to this body. All of us are blessed by this body. God has put us here as a part of this body. We have responsibilities to it. One thing I think is a little bit of a danger in our day and age is faith has become, for a lot of people, an individual type of thing. But that's not really the faith that's been handed down to us. It's not what we find in the scriptures. We're part of something. We're part of something bigger than us. We're part of what God is doing in this world. We are part of his body. Let me pray for you. Dear God, it's hard to tell what the upcoming year will hold. And when I think about us as a church, I pray that you would use us in such a way that we operate like a mature, together, adult church, serving this community in love, representing you and reflecting you in all that we do. Help us to grow in our love for one another, and help us also grow in our ability and in the ways that we honor you. I pray, Lord, that we'd point people to you by how we operate, how we treat each other, and the things we do. So, Lord, bless us. Bless our small groups. Bless our school. Bless our services. And, Lord, this upcoming year, we give it to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd bless us and guide us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.